what we conceived. Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Hell yeah!
Don't you know we're gonna
have a started to burn many things we found. Too many things we found. That's the delightful, delirious, the wonderful Dar Williams singing the Solartopia song with Pete Seeger and the wonderful David Burns, who wrote the lyrics. This is the great theme song for our Solartopia show, and we've got a doozy for you today. Today is the day where we celebrate, and I think we turn a corner on the whole issue of election theft. It is a big deal. This is something Greg Palast and Bev Harris have been working on since 2000, when Jeb Bush stole the 2000 presidential election for his brother George W. in the state of Florida. Al Gore has yet to say anything about all that. Then in 2004, Bob Fitrakis and I broke many of the key stories about the theft of the election then, the re-election of George W. Bush over John Kerry in Ohio, 2004. And, of course, nobody paid attention to Greg and Bev in 2000. And nobody paid attention to me and Bob in 2004, except to kick us around a bit. And then in 2016, of course, Hillary Clinton won the presidential election by 3 million votes, won the exit polls in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, was the rightful winner of the presidency, even though she didn't deserve it, for God's sakes. And hasn't said a word about that either. But finally, there seems to be some stirring among the brain dead. Two major pieces of public discussion have broken through the fog. The first, Hank Johnson, congressman, U.S. congressman from Georgia, has come forward and said that he thinks the special congressional election in Georgia, allegedly won by the Republicans, was in fact probably stolen. This is the first major, to my knowledge, the first major piece of public outcry from a congressional Democrat laying out the reality that an election has been outright stolen. The our incentive for this, what prompted this, is that the state of Georgia, the Republican Secretary of State there, completely erased illegally the electronic records for this special election. It's just, you know, just completely outrageous and illegal, and clearly indicates that this special election by some guy named John Ossoff against some Republican hack, whose name I can't remember, was stolen, as we have asserted and asserted right from the start. The second big piece is the issuance of a major book by Donna Brazile, who took over at the Democratic Party after much uproar. And she has come out, and I won't go into the details right up top because we'll discuss it with our great guests, but she has come out and basically said that the Clinton campaign, surprise, surprise, essentially stole the nomination for the presidency in 2016 from Bernie Sanders. We knew this. We published article after article about it. We, of course, were assaulted from various so-called liberals and Democratic whatevers. What's that guy's name? I can't remember, from The Nation. Josh Holland, who knew nothing whatsoever about elections or election theft or how elections or exit polls or anything like that, just completely raked me and Bob over the coals for daring to suggest that the rightful winner of the Democratic nomination might have been, certainly was Bernie Sanders. And, you know, this qualifies as conspiracy theory and blah, 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 blah. And now Donna Brazile comes out. Got Donald on our mind here. Donna Brazile comes out with her book, which I now have to go get at Barnes & Noble. This is killing me. I actually went over and bought Hillary Clinton's book and read that. Boy, was that excruciating. I deserve battle pay for that. Now Donna Brazile has come out with a book, which I'll be glad to buy, laying out how the Democratic Party completely shafted Bernie Sanders and the Social Democratic. Hey, hello.
The one I'm listening to.
Mimi. Okay, well, we have a little technical. That's the great Mimi Kennedy. Hopefully she'll call us back on a better line. So,
just let you know. John Brakey.
Okay, hi. John Brakey. Okay, I'm doing a soliloquy here, John, and then I'm going to let you on.
Thank you, sir.
So, anyway, Donna Brazile has come out with a book called Hacked, I think, or Hacked, about how the Democratic Party has stole the election for Hillary Clinton from Bernie Sanders. So these two great pieces of information now, Hank Johnson, congressman from Georgia, coming out and saying flat out that he thinks the special congressional election in Georgia with John Ossoff and whoever the Republican was stolen, which we have been saying all along. And now Donna Brazile confirming from an insider's point of view what we all knew to be the case, which is that the Democratic nomination in 2016 was stolen by Hillary Clinton from Bernie Sanders. This is big news. So, John Brakey, you are the great you with me, John?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, you are
and
the great.
And Mimi is here now, too.
Mimi Kennedy, you're with us. How about Susie? Susie, you on? Okay, Susie's
I'm
not on yet.
And yes, I'm on.
You are on. Oh, beautiful. And Dorothy,
this is
Dorothy, right?
Dorothy, I'm on also.
All right, so we've got a minion here. we are going to have a great hour here just ripping through what I've been working on this since 2004. Greg and Deb have been working on this since 2000. Me and Bob Fetrakis since 2004. Finally, after all these years, and you guys, Dorothy Reich, Susie, John Brakey, Mimi Kennedy, you guys have been on this case for years and years. Finally, we have this double-barreled whammy here of Hank Johnson, congressman from Georgia, U.S. congressman, coming out and saying that he thinks the special congressional election in 2017 was totally stolen. We all knew that. We knew it was stolen. It's clear as a bell it was stolen, and we continue to get trashed by the so-called liberal media. And finally, a U.S. congressman comes out and flat out says, hey, guys, I think it was stolen. And by the way, before I lose track of this, I just put up a piece at TruthDig, and we need to talk about this, saying whether challenging the corporate Democrats to prevent the upcoming Virginia and Alabama elections from being stolen. And TruthDig has published it. It's out now. Go to truthdig.org. I'm going to have them on my show, KPFK, later today. And, this is a big deal. And this is why this is so important. So before I keep going on and on here, John Brakey from Arizona, tell us what is, the implications here of Hank Johnson saying that the election in Georgia was stolen. And now Donna Brazile, and this has got to be a blockbuster, saying that the Democrat Clintons actually stole the nomination from Bernie. What are the implications, John Brakey, for the upcoming elections in Virginia and Arizona?
Alabama, which is the big one. It's huge. It's devastating. It's to the point that we as activist community have to really start realizing maybe that we are the ones that we've been waiting for and that we will have to gear up to go ahead and do something, because you cannot count on the DNC, okay? You cannot count on their lawyers to do something. It's going to have to be people like us, and we're going to have to find the means to do it, because the problem is that severe in Alabama. You know, fortunately, you know, out of the vacuum comes the NAACP that is jumping up with their leadership. And we're very grateful to Mimi Kennedy for getting us hooked up with Adrian Miller and what we're doing in Virginia and what we're talking about doing in Alabama. I turn it over to you,
Mimi. All right, so here's the stage is set. In Virginia on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, November, 7th? There is a special election for the governorship of Virginia. Now, there's also one in New Jersey, but everybody's pretty sure that in the wake of the truly ghastly, stomach-turning Chris Christie, that the Democrats are going to win there. But in Virginia, the polls seem pretty tight. The Republican Ed Gillespie is a hardcore right-wing scumbag. And, you know, I mean, well, there's nothing else to say about the guy. And if he wins, he will collaborate with the Republican legislature to completely gerrymander Virginia for the next 100 years. So, Mimi Kennedy, John has mentioned you here. What did you do and what are we doing about Virginia?
Well, there was just a call. By the way, is Harvey, you're a little fuzzy to me. It's one of those things, if I were listening, it's
People have always said I'm fuzzy. I'm warm and fuzzy. What can I tell you?
Exactly. Why change now? It's true. All right. I'm going to answer your question. This morning, there was a very good call between Andrea Miller of People Demanding Action and the NAACP, Jeffy, and I don't have that last name.
Ferguson.
I wasn't on the call. And the NAACP is going to ask the Director of Elections of the Commonwealth of Virginia. That tells you something about Virginia somehow to me, that it likes to call itself a Commonwealth, that they will ask that person, Edgardo Cortez, to message to all his county registrars, I believe 30-some, that they must preserve their ballot images. Now, this won't contain the force of law. It's not coming out of a court. We ran out of time to do that. And now I know why we didn't have the money, because I have read Donna Brazile's article excerpt, and the entire friggin' thing is the stupid... how much can we swear on this radio program?
You actually, let me just make this clear. On PRN, we can swear, but a number of the stations, affiliates on public stations, pick up my show.
Okay, good.
And
so
they can't do it.
The DNC has been in debt for millions of dollars from, they said, the Obama campaign, buying all that swag and stuff. They sure did have a lot of it. Anyway, they ended up millions of dollars in debt. And who came along to say, I'll take care of your debt? The Clinton. Hillary Clinton and Victory for Hillary Fund, and they made a deal with the DNC in 2015 to pay off the DNC's debt, but they would have final say over all the hiring, all the staff, and all the decisions at the DNC. So we went into a primary campaign with voters, Democrats, not knowing that Hillary Clinton, it seemed like it, but we didn't know it, in fact, ran the DNC, and Wasserman Schultz was her enforcer. And as Donna Brazile said, Donna has been a fundraiser much of her life. They had to dial for dollars. And she said Wasserman Schultz barely lifted a finger, really, to fundraise, given fundraising standards as they are in politics. And so she let this thing happen. And then the Clintons came along and said, we'll ask our rich friends. And they changed a lot of rules. They didn't bend rules. It was all presumably above board. But it was all about the money. So now I am in my dotage learning that follow the money still is the name of the game in politics. And the DNC has told us, John Brakey and me and Andrea Miller and anybody who steps up to ask, oh, we don't have enough money to do that. It's so expensive. And we were thinking, you're the DNC. Yeah, come on, you run the whole thing. Well, secret. DNC, horrible debt, completely mismanaged, drinking their wine, having their good time, forgetting about Howard Dean's 50-state strategy. Don't care about the voters. Don't care about rank-and-file Democrats. Ho-hum, Hillary, you can save us. You raise all that money with Bill internationally, and we'll take all your money, and we'll do this going to the states, and the states will pay us back, and the DNC will be just fine through this presidential campaign. And, oh, by the way, Hillary, of course you will be the nominee. That's what friggin' happen. And I only mentioned so that we can, let's go to Virginia. Let's go to what Virginia's like. We're at, the NAACP is going to ask the election guy to do this thing to his registrars, and they will be all doing the right thing with not a friggin' bit of help. Well, a little help. There are some new people at the DNC, and I have heard that they purged the Bernie people and they put in all Hillary people. I didn't know that. I wasn't at that convention a week and a half ago. But I do know I was for the first time put on the phone with a president of the DNC, Jess McIntosh, who wanted to talk to me, got the issue, and wanted to do something about it, but did not step up. Foisted us off onto some person who then didn't do anything. But John Brakey, Andrea Miller, and the this person on the election board, head of the election board in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Jesse is with the NAACP, is going to get in touch with the head of the elections board, Edgardo Cortez, who is then going to reach the registrars. And the minute that that letter goes to the registrars, I want to know, because I want to publicize it here. Harvey, you'll publicize it. That way,
absolutely,
the public who cares will notice that all the registrars in Virginia are supposed to preserve these ballot images. That
all right.
Well,
we'll
have on the
Mimi,
record.
That is,
and then
that,
what
you know,
happens afterwards, we'll see.
Which
well,
is
you know,
80% of Alabama and Virginia are 80% ballot images. And Mimi and me know that fraction magic can change the numbers on the fly, okay? But it cannot change a hard copy paper ballot image on the fly.
Well, let's see.
And that
let's see
takes
here.
Their impunity away to steal, Harvey.
Well, let's see how we can do with the Democrats. Susie Shannon, you and I had a trip to hell, otherwise known as Las Vegas, last week, and we went to the Democratic National Committee meeting. And the question now is, and you are such a brave and powerful warrior here, willing to work within the DNC. Tell us what's going on with the DNC. And do we have even the slightest hope of the – I mean, I met what's the guy's name? Tom Perez. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's any there. What do you think the chances are that the DNC is going to step up and protect these ballots and protect the elections in Virginia and Alabama? And can you also assess the purge here that's been talked about? Did they, in fact, purge the Bernie people, and does that leave us – any kind of hope that they're going to step up and protect these elections?
So, first of all, I always think there's hope. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a DNC member and I wouldn't have run. I just think that we need more people running for these DNC member slots as representatives from their state so that we can come in as a sort of powerful force. I was heartened by the fact that a week and a half ago when we were in Las Vegas, it passed unanimously our resolution on election protection, which basically addressed the voter ID laws, the unverifiable paperless election systems, asked for an expedited 50-state strategy to explore, investigate, and pursue all remedies in overturning current and future methods used in undermining our right to vote. And so that was all very positive. And now, of course, the devil is in the details, and also making sure that the DNC is held accountable to this particular resolution. So I would like to see the DNC, and you know I've been working sort of behind the scenes on this, go into court in Virginia to make sure that all of the election materials are preserved. I think we need to make that demand. I think that needs to happen in Alabama as well. We can set a precedent and use that precedent in other states where we're worried. It's possible, and I haven't had this conversation. I've only spoken with like one election attorney through the DNC, but it's possible that because the Secretary of State in Virginia is a Democrat right now, Kelly Thomason, that maybe they're feeling that they don't need to go into Virginia because they may be able to, you know, somehow work behind the scenes with that. But we know county by county that you can't necessarily be assured of that. And I think one of the things that's particularly for Georgia and the purging of the data there, that really worries me is that I think most people in the United States are under the impression that our election materials are preserved. And I think we operate under this assumption, even though we know that it's not true, particularly with Georgia, which has shown that, and that if there were a recount and we needed all of this election material for discovery, it just wouldn't be there. And whether or not this is gross incompetence or it's deliberate, the results are the same, which is that we can't go back and look at it if it's being deleted. And the Democratic Party, which is most likely to suffer from a lot of the election data that's being purged from these voter ID laws or international cross-check, really needs to step up at this point. I mean, we've just seen, you know, it's just egregious state by state what happens, just the hacking of the software, purging the data. And so that needs to stop. And the Democratic Party, we just need to demand it. I'm a DNC delegate. I'm a member, and I was elected through the California Democratic Party. I'm the only Bernie delegate that actually was elected within the state of California. There are some other Bernie delegates who are in the DNC, but we were, for the most part, elected. I don't know. I know that there are a few who were appointed. I think most of the purging happened on the executive board. James Ogby and a number of other people were purged from the executive board. And then some people were not reappointed, although some of the people who were not reappointed were Clinton delegates who supported Keith Ellison, who was Tom Perez's opponent. But, you know, it's alarming because, you know, with all the talk of unity, to be sort of purging people off of the executive board, which makes decisions when the DNC membership is not meeting, because we only meet twice a year, it's alarming because it basically means that they're not embracing these ideas, perhaps not learning from the mistakes that they've made in the past. There is, you know, a cash flow issue for sure, yeah. although we don't know how bad it is. I think Donna Brazile's piece, and kudos to Donna Brazile for coming forward with it. There's another part to that piece, and if you read it over it, she was an officer of the Democratic National Committee and was not told what was going on within the DNC. And this is kind of par for the course. Things are going on and you don't know about it, and it's really a conversation between the chair and the staff and whoever is pulling the strings, right? And in this case,
money.
You know, Donna Brazile, she had to call Hillary Clinton's chief financial officer, Gary Gensler, and basically ask him what was going on. And she had just taken the reins of the DNC at that point, after the primary. So there's no justification whatsoever 8 months before a primary for a candidate to be controlling staff, controlling the money. And if you look, you know, and this is something that needs to be addressed with the Democratic Party too, which is that you have to look at the flow of money. So basically, if I'm a donor and I've maxed out for Hillary Clinton's campaign, basically, that campaign will tell me to put money into the party. And so what was happening was people were putting money, you know, up to like $33,000, I think, to the DNC and over $300,000 to get dispersed to all the different states. And then the states would cut a check to Hillary for America, which Politico called laundering the money, and it's legal. So, laundering is a pejorative, clearly, but it's the same sense of what's going on here, which is that you're sort of circumventing this campaign finance law that we have in place for a reason, and going through the state parties and going, you know, directly to these, like, victory funds and putting money in. And because of that, they were able to pay off 80% of the debt to the DNC, and then basically take control and put they basically put like austerity measures on the DNC, which I, as a DNC member, am just finding out about today.
Yeah.
And so they were controlling everything. So if you're a candidate and you're controlling everything that's going on within the DNC and then pretending like the nomination process at that point is somehow unbiased, is pretty outrageous and unconscionable.
All right, well, I want to make something very clear here. I am not related to Deborah Wasserman Schultz, and I would really prefer if you relate her as Debbie Schultz. And I am also not related to Harvey Weinstein or the hurricane that just ravaged Texas. Dorothy Reich, you have been a longtime party activist. This must be a shocking day for you. I don't know if you saw this piece from Donna Brazile, and also, you know, finally an actual Democratic congressman coming out and saying that he thought an election was stolen. This is a big deal. And Dorothy, you were kind enough to send us or help us get to Las Vegas. What do you think about all this stuff, especially, the upcoming Virginia contest in terms of what's happening in the Democratic Party?
Well, there's plenty of outrage to go around the whole country in the Democratic primary. So, what can I say? I particularly was not shocked by Donna Brazile's revelations because I kind of knew it. Because little dribs and drabs have been coming out about how the Hillary Victory Fund, which was supposed to give money to the states, really didn't, and all the money went to Hillary for her campaign. The question I have is, does the Democratic Party really want to win elections?
I don't think
that's
they
something
care.
We have to think about that. Do they want to win elections, or do they just want to make the people who are incumbents rich?
That's a very good point.
I'm looking, you know, if anybody reads Howie Klein at Down with Tyranny.
Yes.
You would just be outraged. I'll just pick two races here in California. So Ed Royce in CD39. There's a wonderful candidate named Sammy Jamal running, a good progressive, a young, charismatic, Middle Eastern guy, wonderful candidate. Excuse me?
Yeah, he's a former staffer for
former
Tony
staffer,
Cardenas. He was great.
And so our friend Nancy Pelosi recruits this millionaire lottery winner who doesn't even live in the district, who lives in a multi-million-dollar mansion in Newport Beach, named Gil Cisneros, to run against Sammy. You know, we need to have candidates people want to vote for.
Dorothy, I want to say something about that. This is Mimi again. Again, follow the money. For the first time reading Donna Brazile, I understood the full impact of what money has meant. And I have seen it since becoming chair of Progressive Democrats of America. I went to the first convention and I watched the rooms of the caucuses. And that Northeast caucus, it went actually Delaware, Maryland, and on up. And the party chair stood up and all they said was, well, it's been a good quarter for us. We raised $30 million, and I think a certain female presidential candidate helped us with that. This was 2006, and I remember thinking, my God, there's a progressive movement going on, gentlemen, and they were men, and they were so proud to have this female candidate. Felt they were so feminist, and they had no idea there was anything going on. Now I know, because they were $12 million in debt, $15, $100 million, whatever they were, they needed to clear up that debt. And if you ask a billionaire to run, it's because that billionaire is going to be able to do your victory for the billionaire fund, and he's going to be able to clear up. Now, why they're spending so much at the DNC, we don't see anything of it.
I'll tell you why they're spending so much, because they're buying television time, and all of these campaign managers, they're becoming millionaires with their rake-offs over the money that they're spending buying television time, and they get a percentage of all of it. That's why they're not raising money online. That's why they're doing all these television ads, because there's money in doing television ads. There's no money in running Facebook ads and raising money online. That's not gonna line their pockets. But let me just point out another race to you here.
Dorothy, go ahead.
In California, we have Doug Applegate, who came very close to defeating Daryl Issa. And he's running his campaign, former Marine, pretty, you know, progressive guy, a good candidate. And here comes, is it Mike or Mark Levin, some Hillary Clinton clone. And our friend Park Skelton's running his campaign. Somehow, Levin got my email address, my business email address, so he can solicit money from me. How did that happen? I had to ask somebody, and I accused somebody who denied that, their campaign had turned over my email address to this guy. But nevertheless, there's another race. Now, Doug Applegate was popular. He almost defeated, and he is popular, almost defeated Daryl Issa. Do we need to throw in another self-funding millionaire?
Yep.
And just being a millionaire is not enough. You have to be a multimillionaire to keep Nancy Pelosi happy. If you look at Howie Klein today, he's listing how many millions everybody has. Nancy's like down at the bottom of the multimillionaire. She only has $29 million. But we need
We need to start
having candidates who Democrats and independents want to vote for. If we don't have candidates that people want to vote for, it doesn't matter whether the elections are stolen or not stolen. If our people don't want to vote for our candidates, Republicans are going to win.
Yeah, and I want to mention, since we're speaking about that, the ancient Dianne Feinstein, who has decided to run again for the U.S. Senate at the age of 84, for God's sake,
right.
She's like out of 100 years of solitude. For God's sakes. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, anyway, this is a spectacular discussion. We have Susie Shannon.
So let's mention Kevin DeLeon has challenged her. And
I think Dianne
a good progressive
Feinstein.
In the Senate, a good, young, aggressive, who will put forth positions and not just follow along, someone who will be a leader in the Senate.
I think if Dianne Feinstein succeeds in buying the Democratic nomination for Senate from California, that the Republicans could actually win that seat. We're talking with four great people, Susie Shannon, Dorothy Wright, Mimi Kennedy, and John Brakey. The key focus is the upcoming Virginia and Alabama special elections, governor in Virginia next Tuesday and November 7th, and then in December in Alabama. It would be an earth-shattering situation if the Democrats could win that seat, that Senate seat in Alabama. I don't know when the last time there was a Democratic senator from Alabama. This guy, you know, for what he's worth, and there are questions about him, Doug Jones, but he is somewhat progressive. Certainly not out burning crosses like Roy Moore, the fascist Bannonite who's got the Republican nomination. And I did read in today's Times, there's an uproar, of course, in the right wing about Bannon's representation and all the money that's pouring into these so-called think tanks that actually have taken themselves seriously again. And I was shocked to read that because George Will, who I have always just absolutely loathed George Will, but he hates Trump, and that Fox actually didn't renew his contract. I was astounded to read that. But talk about poetic justice. My God, George Will, of all people. But nonetheless, let's stick with the Democrats and with Virginia and Alabama. John Brakey, you started. We'll go back in order. John, Mimi, Susie, and Dorothy. What is the key now that we have to watch for in Virginia and Alabama to see that these two elections are not stolen?
Well, speaking about Alabama, this is John Brakey, is that it is ultimately, I think, the most critical of all the elections, because this is December 12th, and this is where we could stop the Trump-Bannon-Mercer machine, okay, and send a message, because we got Republicans in the Senate and the House who are scared of what? Of being attacked by Bannon, Trump, and they're bowing down because they're worried about their own primaries. And if we can win in Alabama and stop because we take away their impunity, I'm worried about two things in Alabama. One, they're going to pull what they did in Ohio. They're going to destroy the images. Nobody knows about them. In fact, they tell people, gee, we didn't even turn it on. Okay, that's what they're saying. Two, I'm afraid that The machines in Alabama have been certified by the Elections Assistance Commission, and they may have in them they're connected to the Internet, okay? They have a virtual private network cell phone system that communicates, and that's how an insider can change results on the fly. In 2006, we lost races, even though we won in 2006 the House. We should have won more, but it took 6 to 8 weeks of pre-programming. We are now in the age that they can change results on the fly, and that's the fear. Fraction magic changes the numbers, but it does not change a ballot image. That's why they're destroying them. That's our mission, is to protect them, because the image is what the machine counts. It is the law. You cannot destroy these, and they're making little excuses.
Okay, well, but we know also that in Alabama, and I'm not sure about Virginia, but certainly in Alabama, the Republicans are doing everything possible to prevent black people from voting. Mimi, have you been following this, and do we know if it's going on in Virginia also?
Yes, it absolutely is going on in Virginia. And, in fact, the Democratic Party is a colluder, it looks like, in Virginia. The campaign, statewide campaign for governor, is not making calls to places that are 30% African-American. If you have a township or a city or a region that's 80% African-American, yeah, they're getting some calls to go out and vote. Where Andrea did a large telephone campaign asking people, are you getting calls, the NAACP, and people are going, no, you're the first call we've gotten. These are places that are, as I say, maybe one-third African-American. So there is a certain amount of racial profiling going on among the campaigns, again, probably to save money. But what I want to say about Virginia, and again, talking to Andrea, that Democratic candidate for governor just said that if he is in the governor's seat, he will unsign the bill, or he will, that makes Virginia a sanctuary state. He won't allow that. And as she said, that's going to go over really well with the Latino voters of Virginia, of whom there are quite a few. And anyway, it's a Democratic constituency, but that's what we've got running for the Democratic seat in Virginia. And the reason I bring it up is because these candidates that are bad create a narrative that helps the right wing, because then the right wing can say the Republican won because the left didn't like the Democratic candidate. That's what the vulnerability is. And meanwhile, if Virginia doesn't manage, they're not going to go into court, it doesn't look like. We have Friday and Monday left to demand that the ballot images be preserved and fight that fight. There'll be the suggestion to the county clerks to do the ballot images. In other words, they might be able to steal with impunity, and if they do, the narrative will be the Democrat wasn't enough of a Democrat. Oh, the Democrats are so stupid. Our Republican won because people like him. He's a nativist, and he hated immigration all along, and that's who you'd vote for. You wouldn't vote for the Democrat who says he doesn't like, you know, sanctuary cities. So it's the same old among the Democratic white people trying to steal white voters from the Republicans and ignoring all these other constituencies that have real gripes, that are really suffering, and that need a progressive political party to pull everybody together, white people, black people, brown people, immigrants. That's what we should be doing. We should be united. But the Democrats refuse to do it, and they pick off this tiny percentage, they hope, of Republicans. Racists, I'm sorry to say, but it is not unknown in Virginia. And so there are two problems. One is they can steal, and if they can, they will. And number two, if they have a convenient narrative saying the Democrats didn't like their candidate, nobody went out to vote for him, and Andrea's saying, unfortunately, that's already the buzz, because this is who the Democratic leadership chose to be their candidate, and it's happening on smaller levels, too. It happens, she told me, of three congressional races in the past where there was a perfectly good candidate, much as Dorothy just narrated for us, and the DNC parachuted in some jerk. And I do, and Andrea and I asked the same thing. Do they want to win elections, or do they want to perpetuate the jobs of the people who are comfortable? And we can't figure it out, but I think racism has something to do with it. And it really makes me sad.
Susie Shannon, you've been in touch, I think, with people in Virginia. What's your take on what's happening there?
So,
you know, first of all, I think losing Virginia would be a huge loss for the Democrats. So for those who don't know, Terry McAuliffe is the governor now. He is termed out. Virginia is one of the few states where you can't serve consecutive terms for governor. And the Secretary of State there is appointed, not elected. So that means that if we lost, we would lose the governorship. You had mentioned earlier, Harvey, the gerrymandering issue, but we would also lose a Democratic Secretary of State, which means that it just becomes that much harder to be protecting our elections. So I am still hoping that the DNC will go in, you know, sometime next week. I know it's actually difficult to file these declaratory relief. The declaratory relief is like a preemptive judgment when you go into court, and that actually would, so you'd make an appeal to the judge saying that you want an injunction that basically says that all of the election materials must be preserved. So it's actually a much more complicated process than I had realized. However, it's important because, you know, losing this seat, and if there are, you know, if there's anything going on in the county, and again, it could be from negligence. It doesn't even have to be deliberate, but the outcome is the same. If you can't go back and look at the election materials, you can't go back and do a recount, and if you're not saving these ballot images, then we could, you know, lose for winning. You know, we could win, but lose just because of, like what Mimi and John were talking about with the fraction magic and, you know, losing these really important documents that you would need in discovery if you were going to go into court after the fact. So we need to start doing things preemptively. Enough has happened in our country really since 2000 and maybe before, and we haven't done enough to, you know, put the shield up and say, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. And that you know, really is, you know, it's really difficult to, you know, justify if you're the DNC not going in at this point and saying enough already, and we're going to make sure we're setting a precedent so that we can go into the other states. So I'm still hopeful that something will happen before Tuesday, but I don't know. It's very costly. So these apparently going in to get an injunction can cost upwards of $100,000. So they can be really, really costly depending on, like, which attorneys are doing this, which is why a lot of nonprofits typically step up to do this kind of work.
Well, yes, and we have to remember, of course, that Jill Stein was able to raise $7 million. Bernie could go in there probably and raise the money on the Internet, but the DNC has no connection to the grassroots, and for them, you know, they got to get a millionaire to write the check, right?
Well, and you have to wonder.
Or at least they have to say so, because mine in Arizona cost $10,000. Okay?
Wait.
Because we did Arizona already, and it was about $10,000.
Because they lied. You have to wonder whether for the funding class, whether the Republican policies as far as taxes and other fiscal policies benefit them to the extent that they're maybe not, they're Democrats, maybe, as we say, in name only. Do they really want the Democrats to win? Do they really not want Trump's tax policies to pass? Maybe we have to think about that. I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, look, the Clintons basically sold the Democratic Party to the corporations in the 1980s with the Democratic Leadership Council. And they sold the Democratic Party to the corporations for one purpose, which is to put themselves in the White House. And then, as we've seen now with Donna Brazile, they have starved out, as Obama did, the locals. And so what happens in Obama, when Obama's in the White House, the Democrats lose 1,000 seats in state legislatures all over the country. So the whole Democratic Party since the 1980s and the Democratic Leadership Council has been tilted towards wealthy donors who give big money to people like Hillary Clinton
now worth $100 million. Al Gore, probably a billionaire now. And John Kerry from the Heinz fortune, about half a billion. And everybody else can go jump in the lake. And
Barack Obama and Michelle signed a $65 million book deal. $65 million book deal.
Wow.
Why didn't he cough up a little money for the DNC?
That's what I'm wondering. Why isn't our donor class forthcoming when they see the trouble we're in? At least to do this election protection work.
Because they're getting everything they want from Trump. The point is, if you sell the Democratic Party to the corporation, and then in comes Trump, what are the corporations need the Democrats for? You know, Trump's giving them everything they want. Why would they want to do? You know, you've got Tom Steyer and a few other wealthy people out there with you know, a brain and a conscience. But otherwise, why would the millionaires give money to the Democrats?
I think there's only an upside, though, to going into court. There's only an upside to basically protecting our elections, because no one wants to put a lot of money into a campaign if you know it can be stolen, right? If you know that the rug can be pulled out from under the campaign and you've put in, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars into that campaign, and the Democratic Party has just let it get frittered away, you know, by not protecting the election, it just seems like there's only an upside that, you know, it seems if I were a donor, right, a wealthy donor, and I was putting money into campaigns, into the DCCC, into the DNC, but then I just saw that money was going to, you know, just a campaign that was getting stolen out from under us, I would just stop donating after a while, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
We thought so after Georgia, $25 million, the most expensive House campaign in the history of the United States, $25 million, and we begged them to vote on paper, and then we begged them to do election forensics, and the DNC did nothing. The activists did a lot. The DNC did nothing, and then when they finally, I forget whose lawsuit it was, Garland Favorito, not the DNC, found out that they couldn't get these things in discovery because the election servers had been wiped. And that was $25 million from all these Democrat and Republican donors. But it's like they were proud they'd raised so much money and spent so much money. And all they would have needed, okay, say even $100,000 to go in and do the ballot image thing. They refused to do it. They would not do it.
All right, so what's everybody's prediction?
Susie, I agree with it. Why doesn't that argument work? I don't know.
It's insane. I think the classic moment, of course, the telling moment, is in Michigan after 2016. Jill Stein raises $7 million over the Internet from small donors. She goes in and she's doing a recount, demanding a recount in Michigan, and she's got it all lined up. Everybody's there. The Democratic lawyers are sitting there, and the judge says, well, you know, candidate Stein, you can't win, so you don't have standing. How about you Democrats? Do you want to jump in and join this lawsuit to see who actually won the state of Michigan in the 2016 election? And the Democrats, Hillary Clinton's people, says, nah, we're just here to watch. We're not going to jump in. We're not going to do anything. Let's have our predictions. Let me go through the list here again. John Brakey, Mimi, Susie, and Dorothy, what do you think is going to happen in Virginia?
Well, I think that the NAACP is going to jump in. I think Cortez, who is the head of the commission, is going to send out a small memorandum and get everybody on notice. And I'm hoping that could be the case because, you know, just tying back to Georgia, they just didn't delete these three databases. They just didn't defrag and discan them. They brought in huge industrial magnets to wipe this stuff out. I mean,
yeah, really.
I mean, you know, I never heard of anybody doing that. I mean, I was happy with just, you know, scan disking, okay, and defragging.
I'm surprised they didn't take the election machines out into a back lot and fill them full of machine gun bullets.
Yeah.
Mimi, what do you
think? Yeah, really. You know, it was it's just... It's incredible.
Mimi Kennedy,
they would go that far.
Harvey, I think that in Virginia, it's probably going to be very close between the governors, and they're going to want to recount I think that they will not let the balance of power go to the Democrats, and I think they'll use the rural counties to say, what a surprise, there are angry white voters in Virginia who didn't want their Confederate statues torn down. They're the only ones who went out to vote. So by one or two, the Virginia Commonwealth State House, will the balance of power will go to the Republicans, and I think that the governorship will be contested. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to the Republican, and I don't want any of this to happen. I want the Democrats to win because the ballot image thing worked and that fraud will be deterred. But if they can steal it, they will. And I don't see them letting a state go before the gerrymandering opportunity. So I'm a little afraid. But it, at least, you know, that's how I see it.
Susie Cannon?
So the latest Suffolk poll, which I think came out today or yesterday, showed Northam up 4 points, 47 to Gillespie, 43. But the margin of error is 4.4, and it was 500 likely voters. So we know that these likely voter polls are becoming less and less accurate because there's always this group of people who come out who are not polled, and I think that's probably going to be the situation here. I agree with Mimi. I think this is likely going to end up in the courts. I wouldn't call it for either candidate at this point. I think that Northam has been running ahead by about 4 points, 5 points. He's like down a point now. Just in these likely voter polls, but I think it's just too close to call. And I think, as Mimi said, you know, the rural voter phenomenon, which is what they'll call it, will be something that would be something that could put Ed Gillespie over the top. So I'm following this really closely, clearly, but I think it's too close to call. But I would guess that. Yeah, I mean, this could turn around for the Republicans, in favor of the Republicans, which would really
push. Dorothy?
I want to state that the rural voter thing that I cite is a myth that will be used to cover up a fraud.
Yeah,
I don't
agreed.
Believe it's real.
Yeah.
I want to be very clear on that. They'll say it's rural voters. It's a myth, and it covers up fraud. Okay.
Dorothy,
well,
what do you think?
Meanwhile, the polling, Northam was ahead 13 points. Beginning of October, now he's only ahead 5 points. So there you go. Is the Democratic Party doing that they would lose that much of a lead?
Gillespie has been running anti-immigrant ads just constantly and attacking Northam. So they're attributing a lot of that to the loss in the polls. I don't know how true that is, but...
And why are we running ads attacking Gillespie for his many flaws, you know? What are we doing?
Instead he's saying, Northam is saying, I will overturn the sanctuary city. I won't allow any sanctuary cities. I'm not that bad on immigration. I hate them too. That's the way Northam is going. That's why he's losing in the polls. They don't believe in their progressive voter base. And if they had an honest election, they'd see it come forward.
Because they show very clearly they don't believe in anything.
It's sad, but still the Democrats would win an honest election. But the DNC won't go in and make sure it's involved. Although, Susie, I love your optimism that they might do something. Anyway,
we can never find out if our policies, if real Democratic policies are winning policies, because at the last minute, the Democratic Party pulls back and goes, well, we didn't really feel that way.
All right, so here's a question
I
want to put out.
Either.
Where's a website that people can go to get election integrity integrated into the Democratic Party? Is there a good do we go to Progressive Democrats, Mimi? What's the website?
My favorite website is Verified Voting, to see all the voting systems in the United States, every state you're interested in and every county you're interested in. That's the one I use for that. John, I know you have another.
Yeah, I have electionnightmares.com, because it really is a nightmare what's going on. And then secondly, on Facebook, people can find me, John Roberts Brakey, because my Facebook is all about that. And also Audit AZ. And Audit is an acronym for Americans United for Democracy, Integrity, and Transparency. And I am no longer an election integrity activist. I'm an election transparency activist, because the solution is more transparency and making elections
publicly verified, and that's what we're about.
All right, so do we have any indication at all that the Democratic National Committee is going to do anything in Virginia to help the situation here?
Maybe.
Susie, you're on the DNC.
I need to get it, but maybe I'll call her tomorrow.
Susie Shannon, what do you think? Hello?
We must have lost Susie.
Okay. Sorry,
I'm here. Is there any indication? I don't know, except for the fact that I got a call from the elections attorney just asking me what was going on and what we wanted, and I haven't heard back yet, so I don't know. I'm hoping that they'll go in the day of, but I'm hoping, and I'm going to keep pushing for that. So, you know, part of it is that they have to hear from people, and, you know, we need to make them accountable and have them make them do it.
Well, God help us.
Who's
doing
that? Tell us who to call, Susie.
Yeah, so keep us posted on this. I'm going to put out there, by the way, we really have two parties in this country that need to be separated. We have the corporate Democrats who are utterly brain dead and completely owned and operated by the Clinton DLC and the sale of the Democratic Party in the 1980s. And we have the progressive Democrats. Now, in a parliamentary system, we would have separate parties. And, you know, we've never been able to get the Green Party off the ground. We haven't been up. The history of third-party politics really was crushed during World War I by Woodrow Wilson. That's a whole other story. But our frustration here stems from the fact that we are progressives trying to work in a corporate party. And it's a very, very difficult situation. And what we wind up with is an outright fascist, Donald Trump, and we have a very difficult time. Let's hope that things go our way in Virginia and especially in Alabama, but it would be very difficult. You know, if we lose the governorship of Alabama, we lose the whole deal. I mean, of Virginia. Yeah, you guys have been great. I wish we had another hour. Maybe we will. Talk to you again soon. Thank you so much, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Harvey. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.